The second cry from the cross is found in Luke 23, and we read from verse 39. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise." Have you ever wondered why Jesus was crucified between two thieves? If God is a God who is in control of everything, why were they there? We don't know the reason, but one of the results is that we see two very different responses to Jesus. And we also get to see Jesus' response to a man for whom time has run out. As with each of these cries, we see a little more into the reason why Christ died. As we look at these two thieves, we see, as we read the different Gospels, that both of them start off ridiculing and reviling Jesus. At some point, perhaps when Jesus cries for forgiveness for his persecutors, one of them starts to change while the other remains the same. The first thief continues to demand that Jesus dance to his tune, that Jesus get him down off the cross. It's so easy to do, to want Jesus to meet our needs when we have no real interest in him. The second man, however, responds differently. He rebukes the first. This dying man shows us how to respond to Jesus. This dying man acknowledges his guilt. He says, "We are punished justly." For him, the problem is not that he is on a cross and wants down. For him, the problem is that he is facing death and knows he is guilty. And so he asks Jesus to deal with that problem. He acknowledges that God owes him nothing. We are getting what our deeds deserve. He's saying, "I can't do anything to rescue myself." And when we put ourselves in that position and we admit our guilt and our inability to help ourselves and we turn to Jesus and we say, "Would you do something? Would you remember me?" Then we're in a position to receive the greatest gift in the world. The first cry from the cross reveals the great mercy of Jesus. The second cry on the cross reveals the great salvation of Jesus. Jesus speaks. And what does he say to a murdering rebel who moments before had been cursing him and now pleads with him? He says, "I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise." Paradise? What? But he doesn't deserve it. He's done nothing. Well, there's no time for him to do anything. He's been a rebel and a murderer. He deserves punishment. But you see, when we admit our guilt and our inability, we're in a position to receive the greatest gift. And it's so shocking that Jesus underscores his words with, "And I tell you the truth." He wants this man to realize that this gift is genuine. And here is the wonder of what the Bible calls grace, God's gift of rescue. It's a great gift. Let me give you some reasons why it's a great gift. It's great because it's for anyone. Second man said, "Do you remember me?" Who else would remember a dying rebel, dying a shameful death? But Jesus says, "I will remember you." It's great because it's for anyone. It's great because no sin is too great for God's grace. Anyone can find forgiveness. It's shocking. The religious leaders around the cross, they've devoted their lives to God's word, but they're missing the point. And this murderer, with his last gasp, finds forgiveness. Here's the willingness of Christ to save sinners. You can't be too bad for God. But we see that you can be too good. You can be too proud, too reliant on your own efforts to impress God. That's the problem with the religious leaders. And it's a great gift because it's free. This man could do nothing to impress God. Nothing to serve, nothing to earn his forgiveness. Yet Jesus says to him, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." You see, Jesus is the one who's going to earn this man's forgiveness. Jesus is the one who's going to pay for his sin. And so Jesus is the one who can speak with this assurance and certainty, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." How could I make up to God for living for myself on his earth with his breath and for seeking my glory with all that he has given me? I can't. And yet Jesus says that he will pay so that today you will be with me in paradise. What certainty! Today you will be with me. No question, no doubts, today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this great certainty that Jesus brings. Thank you that it's not about our efforts to impress you. Thank you that he can provide a certainty not based on our own pride or presumption, but a certainty based on a humble acknowledgement of what Christ has done. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. The thief on the cross heard that marvellous assurance that Christ would not let go of him, but would bring him into glory. Psalm 73 celebrates the holding and keeping power of God, and how he brings his people into glory despite their many weaknesses.